you like it.
Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have first-time amazing guest. My mom, Jane Liebman, is here. Well, I'm actually in her place where I grew up. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Kate.
A little bit more to... Yeah. There, you're good. So, this is my mom, everyone. I finally convinced her. Are you nervous right now?
A little bit.
You're a big talker.
That's true.
A lot of my personality, the gregarious, outgoing part, comes from you.
Yes.
I'll give you a little background. My mom's going to warm up in a second, and she'll be talking, but I'll give you a little background to my mom. She was an art teacher, like I used to be. She was a swing dance instructor. She still is an artist. She does a lot of watercolor paintings that are hanging around her house. She's incredible. She grew up in Brooklyn, so she's got some Brooklyn, New York roots and an accent that every now and then comes out. Anything else you want to say about yourself, Mom? She can sing. She used to have a band.
Dance. Love to dance. I think we both have that love of music and art and dance. And you got to learn when you were young from the Lindy Hoppers from England, and the other people came from Sweden, the Rhythm Hotshots.
Yes, but I really learned from you.
Yeah, me too.
Yes, they came and stayed at our place for like a week or whatever, and they were amazing, but you really from the start got to teach me about rhythm. And we were joking because she would have my brother and I, you would play the piano like the Chattanooga, what was it?
Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Yeah. So she would have us singing, and we didn't always like it, but it got in our bones. And you're the one who really introduced me to like the Beatles, big band music. I still love
rock and roll.
Yeah. Well, you and
blues.
I, about a week ago, had a little bit of a dance party. My mornings can be a little rough, but that helped. They're getting better. But the one morning I was here and we put on some of that kind of music. We were doing Elvis, the Beatles, and all sorts, Aretha. Okay, so let's see. Topics, because I'm going to try to be well-behaved on this one. I'm trying my best. Well, first of all, I went and met with Rabbi Marks today of Congregation Beth Orr. He was the rabbi who I got bat mitzvahed with. My friend started the wave at my bat mitzvah, so I got to remind him of that. And he was really calm. All he said was, Kate's friends, please rise and please leave. And then the bus, for some reason, took all my friends to the party earlier. Remember that?
Yes.
So by the time I got there, my mom had blown up a huge baby picture of me for everyone to sign, and someone had already given me a mustache. So, you know, what can you do? I had friends who started the wave. My mom got bat mitzvahed at what age?
46. I don't remember. Wait. In my late 40s, 1997.
What made you want to get...
47.
What then made you... Because it was after, I think, Greg and I, right?
Yes.
So was it that? Like, what made you want to do it then?
Well, I always had an interest in Judaism since I was little. And I asked my grandmother, who was brought up Orthodox, to take me to a synagogue because my parents didn't belong.
They didn't even go?
No. Mm. So she took me to a synagogue across the street from my house, which was totally old-fashioned Orthodox. And I was studying with these two older men, and it was kind of scary. I was only 7.
Yeah.
So I didn't continue, but I remember we were up in the balcony with all the women because it was segregated, and it was so hot, and I really...
Oh, it was segregated?
Orthodox. Yeah, I didn't enjoy it, but I always liked it, and I started to go to synagogue in high school because my friends belonged to a reform place. So I always had that yearning, but I wasn't raised in a religious family. We did holidays. It was very confusing because we actually celebrated like a little mini Christmas with gifts, nothing religious.
Well, I like, you know me, I like mixing different traditions and, you know, but some people, like if you're, like I had a Christmas tree growing up, a little mini one in my room. I always loved both. And getting pulled back to the synagogue today even, and when I went with you a week ago, or whenever that was, because my brain is a little fried lately, but it was just so nice to be back. And for me, it's nice, because I went in today, you know, and I have my tattoos, and it's nice to feel accepted there still, knowing that I'm not, I mean, everyone's unique, every single person, you know, but I definitely look not the typical person going to that synagogue, and it was nice to be welcomed. And I think almost all religions, in my opinion, should be welcoming and not scary. But I mean, welcome to one of the big problems of the world, right? It's like, I don't like anything that's like, if you do this, you're going to hell. Like, that's just a terrifying, anxious way to live. And one of the cool things about Judaism is they don't, Rabbi Marx gave me a book, What is a Jew? And it's actually a really good book. And I was reading some of the things, and we read, like, do Jews believe in an afterlife? And one of, I'm going to mess up the quote now, but it was really a beautiful here and now quote of, like, basically a life that's really connected and filled with light here is almost like, you know, heaven on earth. And then a life filled with torment for one's misdeeds is, in a sense, hell here. And I was like, oh yeah, I agree with that, you know? So, Mom, let's get into, I feel like I need to pick something that you're going to want to talk about. Let's talk about artists. We'll get into that first, because my mom and I were both art teachers. So we decided before this, we were going to talk about some of our favorite artists and why. One of our both favorites is Frida Kahlo. Why do you love Frida, before I go into why I love Frida?
Well, because she's so unique, and I believe that she was a feminist way before her time. Although she married a very, he was a horribly abusive man. She had that terrible accident.
Diego Rivera, right? Yes. Yeah.
And she suffered so much when she was impaled and struggled and fought.
Yeah.
And stood up to him. I believe they were divorced at some point, but remained always, I don't know, it was on a friendly basis, but I admired her imagery and her stamina, her strength. And being a woman artist back then was really so hard. It's so hard now to be noticed and seen.
Yeah.
But I think it was a kind of misogynistic type situation for her, but then she shined. She was able to shine on her own.
Yeah, because I think at the time, he might have even been more famous than her then.
Oh, yeah.
And her art, now everyone knows Frida. She's been one of my favorites because of what you're saying. And she was really able to take her feelings, whether it was pain or whatever, and put it onto the canvas in a way that was almost jarring back then. I mean, some of her artwork now you look at, and I think that's what makes a real artist, is when they're able to put their experience onto, whether it's a canvas, or there are many different ways to express yourself, but she's someone, even as a little girl, when I look at her artwork, that I admired her feminism and her talent and her ability, even though she was in a lot of pain physically and emotionally with her, like, on and off abusive relationship, she really tried to keep shining, and I feel her a lot with me.
And she was in so much pain. She would, at the end, or, yeah, I don't know exactly when, she'd go places being in a bed, and she lost a child. And it was just such a hard life that she had. So, a woman, one of them, you know, many to be admired.
We're not going to talk much about our own personal lives, but you and I can both, I think, relate to being in pain and still trying to get your art, once again, whether it's drawing, painting, dancing, singing. When you lose touch with that, I think you almost lose touch with your heart. You know, like, when you almost become robotic, where you're not allowed to feel feelings or express them. We're all fragile, insecure, complex beings. And I feel safest around the people who are able to show what's really going on. And she is, even though I never met her, was always an inspiration of, oh, wow, she was in a ton of pain and still put it out there and put herself out there. She's just incredible.
And I know, because you've mentioned I do a lot of landscapes and I'm doing cityscapes now. But you also talk about being more free. And I have been in the past, and I have to get in touch with that again. Because, you know, that self-portrait I did years ago that is all different colors, and my hair was kind of strange. And it was just very interpretive.
Kind of looks like my hair now.
Yeah, rainbow hair. So I took that actually with me on my interview to teach in the school district of Philadelphia. And just got some, you know, strange reactions, like, oh, that's nice. So I want to do both, because I'm doing these themes of now cities, New York, Paris, and Jewish-related themes. And I also, I would like to have a show hopefully this coming year, because now the past 6 years since I retired, I've been painting a lot. And I'm so happy and proud of what I've done.
You're an incredible artist.
Thanks.
And you should be proud. And I do tell her, though, I want to see that other, because she's really good at like taking a picture and basically photorealism, you know, painting it that way. Even though it's not completely photorealism because it's watercolor and it has that translucent quality. But I want to see that other part that you did, that mm-hmm. that self-portrait, because it's so honest. And that's what I think made certain people uncomfortable, is like, what's healing in our collective slowly is that it's starting to become a little bit more okay to show your emotions. It's a little less white picket fence-ish, I think, at least the world I try to swim in. But I think at that time, people weren't really comfortable with other people showing their anxieties or complexities. But that's art. Like every, I think.
No, I agree.
You know, it's showing your truth. And not most of us, none of us really have it together in ways that people put out there.
Well, I did want to interpret or paint some of my dreams, but sometimes they're just so horrendous.
Really?
Yeah, and the imagery would be quite disturbing. And it also is disturbing for me to even think about and have to try to, you know, to put that down on paper. And I've tried. I haven't drawn the human body in years. I'm trying, but I need a lot of work.
I bet you it's incredible. By the way, you're such a perfectionist on yourself.
Know.
That's why, because you know, in my wall, it's very abstract. I've had to do that for now because I can draw very realistically and paint very realistically, but I needed a little more wiggle room. So I can't wait till you give yourself that permission, because I would love to see none of that stuff. Like Salvador Dali for me went very, like some of the imagery there was jarring and dreamlike.
Oh, right.
And yet it touches all of our souls. Tim Burton, I think, does an incredible job of tying the whimsical and the darker worlds together. So I know some of the imagery you have might be, you know, I don't want to make guesses, but violent or
disturbing.
But honestly, it's not like there's a lot going on in this world and you're a very sensitive person. So I feel like people would also relate to those if you were comfortable with putting them out there. But you can't really do it until you're ready. Because if you did it and forced yourself to put those images out there and then you weren't able to own it yet, it would be too much anxiety, I would think. If you were, because you're going to be doing a gallery showing hopefully this year. And if you weren't ready for people to see that part, then...
Well, I have to think about it.
Yeah, it's up to you. I'm not going to force... I'm learning how to not force, but... I'm in a place of deep surrender. Like, I'm supposed to have an article coming out tomorrow in the Jewish Exponent. I'm hoping. Dang. It was supposed to come out last week and then I got bumped to Tuesday. And I'm really hoping, because it's supposed to help fuel people to the show I'm having on Friday, the 29th. And I'm trying my best because I do a ton of spiritual work. And I'm just like, you know what? You only have so much control. And the more I try to control or force things in general, it's like, it doesn't ever go my way anyway, but it's scary because I'm like, okay, you know, this whole, you know, the listeners know about the CG situation. I won't go into it too deeply other than the GoFundMe is still down, although I'm in process of getting it back up. But it's really just saying, you know what? I believe that there's a bigger force. It's the river swims the fish kind of thing. And I'm trying my best to just say, it's going to be what it's going to be. And hopefully God and goddess or universe, whatever you want to call it, will carry me through and carry all of us through. But it's very interesting trying to even surrender more when, I mean.
There's also so much pain in the world, especially now because of the political situation.
I think there has been for a long time. Yes. It's surfacing in a different way.
And...
Climate well, I saw change. You watching the news yesterday. I was saying I went upstairs. My mom was watching it like it's a horror movie. But the news kind of is like that
it
now.
Is.
It's like one scary headline after the other. So why don't you talk about some of the things? I wrote some of them down if you forget. But some of the things in the news that are causing pain to you and the collective.
Well, I watched the local, not the local, the national news. I really avoid pretty much local news, just for the look at it for the weather, because it's shootings and everything horrible for the most part. Sometimes at the end, like even in the national news, they'll have a quote nice story uplifting at the end, but. And this goes back to when I was in college and trying, you know, to work for McGovern, George McGovern, and being so disappointed back then in the political system. And I was kind of a fake hippie.
You were a real hippie too, though.
You
have a hippie heart in a good way.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
But I was making posts. Our school was shut down. I went to Brooklyn College. Abby Hoffman came. And I went to make posters, I think it was, I don't know, maybe for the SDS. But being an art student, we all went over and we were doing silk screens and squeegeeing. So then finally the president of the college figured out that the way to get us back was to tell seniors we wouldn't graduate. So I put my squeegee down and I went right back to the art studio, because after 4 years of such hard work and then looking for employment as an art teacher, I didn't want
to. So they really threatened you.
Yeah, they did, of course. So the seniors went back. The rest of the campus still was out striking. But it was awesome to see that type of political rise coming out. And then Gloria Steinem showed up.
Oh, my eventually.
Gosh. So that was amazing. Whoa. I was in the transition period. I wish she had come earlier. So a lot of things were changing at the time in many good ways, but also very much so behind the times with racism and anti-Semitism. And that was very, very upsetting to see all these injustices. So now, in this present age, you have Jeff Epstein and all these crooked politicians and...
But they were there then, too, I believe.
Yeah, they were. See, but everything you have to realize, too, we didn't have the type of media that was so open back then. And right away, on a dime, you could get a Twitter message or a message online. So things were much more hidden, like about John F. Kennedy or Marilyn Monroe and Robert Kennedy. People had suspicions, but you really didn't know. But I see the kind of criminal activity. I was always wondering what really happened to her and how she really passed away. And the same thing reminds me with Jeff Epstein, that all of a sudden the guards disappeared for hours. And it just doesn't make sense. But anyway, trying to make the world a more beautiful place are the other my big causes, gun control, safety. And... it is extremely frustrating to have to deal and see. Well, I think that the NRA now is having many more issues, membership or financial, actually. So
that's good to hear.
I know. So I'm hoping, because I did go to some meetings, but they kind of locally, they weren't really happening. So I want to get involved more with that because it's so crucial. I support financially Every Town for Gun Safety and Sandy Hook Promise as much as I can. I support Israel, the IDF, and the other organizations. I don't have a lot of funds, but I do what I can. And things for the environment, because locally in Montgomery County in Pennsylvania, our water is toxic, as it is throughout the nation. But what here, there was a naval base in Horsham, and they sprayed toxic foam on the planes. I forget exactly why, but it all wound up seeping into the water system here. And the water is not safe to drink. It has PFOAs and PFOSs. So I decided I got a carbon activated filter system for my house. Because when my grandkids were here, I did not want them bathing or drinking. I don't drink the water.
What about me?
Well, and my children, of course. I don't want them showering.
I think I already showered too much in that water. I love my tattoos and my hair, but
the water is now clean. But I have to get it tested and make sure that it's okay. But I get Whole Foods alkaline water from Whole Foods. But it's my point that we have polluted this our environment so badly. I always was against spraying. My neighbor would spray her lawn every month.
We can't sing the song because it has her full name in it.
Right.
My mom will try. Okay, we'll do a song without saying it. Well, can we say the first name or no?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, forget it. Yeah, but my mom would come up with a jingle because we had a neighbor who would spray pesticides with tons of chemicals, and they do really stink. Like, you can smell them, you know, like you can feel them. And
Roundup.
It was a
now.
Good song. I won't sing it, but it would be like, doot, doot. Wait, I'm not going to say the name. Doot, 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 sprays.
She makes the world a haze. She doesn't care if she poisons the air. Blank sprays. Now I want you to know, I wrote two more verses for that poem.
We can. Are you going to do it right now?
No, I don't have them available. But
my mom writes really good holiday poems, like for real. And who knows? Maybe this year I'll get the first paragraph. I'm not going to even make jokes about it. Has been. Well, look, we're going to both agree that first of all, climate change is real for anyone. I don't think any of my listeners disagree with that, but I can feel in my system, whether it's like the actual chemicals, but I can feel Gaia, the Earth's soul. I don't want to say dying because we're going to make it through, but like we're in a place where we need to really wake up. And it's all of these issues. It's also prison reform, mental health reform, and remembering that we're all connected. So no matter how much money you have or if none of these issues are even directly affecting you, they are, you know? So it's interesting, you know, my mom and I haven't always gotten along through my childhood, and yet we're very similar, you know? And that's something even this past year, as I've been doing my healing work, I was able to embrace differently because it was always so obvious. Like, we look a lot alike, but then also the dancing, the art teaching, jewelry making. Yeah, it was just... But because, and I won't go deep into it, because of childhood stuff, it was hard for me up until recently to want to see those similarities. And now, you know, it's very obvious. Like, it's so funny because a lot of our path is very similar. And just, I learned a lot from you with that hippie heart. You know what I mean? You really always cared about politics and injustices and racism is still alive and well for people who try to disagree with that. It's crazy. Like, there's still tons of innocent Black people dying just because of their skin color by people who are supposed to protect them, you know? And it's something that we all need to heal together, all of us. But yeah, my mom's drawing right now. Yeah. She does really good doodles, actually. See, you should do like doodles and frame them because they always end up being really beautiful when you know what I mean?
The other thing, now I lost my train.
Sorry, but closer.
No, our sense of humor. Sense of humor that you were always, since you were a little girl, you were hysterical and you put
Thank
on
you.
Shows. I have a little twinkle. Its name is Star.
Mom, no one else is going to think. That's like such a mom thing to think that's the kid. Thank you.
It was precious. And you'd dress up and you'd put on shows. And you're very funny. You were always very clever and wise. Stubborn. You're not the boss of me.
Yeah, I still say that to everyone.
But very, very kind-hearted. And artistic and caring about other people so much, you know, to this day, that it does. It just takes a toll on your soul because there's so much,
yeah,
so pain. Many hurtful things going on in the world and
within ourselves too.
And within ourselves, and as a teacher, I ended up teaching in Philadelphia. At the end, I taught in Burbs, different. In New York and Connecticut, and then we settled down here. But it was very, very difficult. Often I was more like a mom and then a grandma figure and a therapist. And the fact that the schools are so decrepit and old, filled with asbestos, toxic water, mice, perhaps some rats, and big water bugs, and I'm a clean freak. So I'd always be keeping my room as clean as possible, wiping the desks down, because one thing is school is always a bed of germs. So I, you know, I do the Lysol in the desks, and
this is where we were different.
But
I'm
extreme. So I would someone gave me a tip not to keep, I never knew this, not to keep the waste paper basket near my desk because the kids throw the tissues in. And I had this boy one day, he was very sweet, 5-year-old boy, Ruslan from Russia. And he came in with his nose running, all this gook, and it was back to school night. So I usually dressed in layers anyway. So comes in, wipes his nose on my blouse. And I washed my blouse 2 times, and I pointed out that we have tissues here on my desk in the United States.
Was he crying on you? Is that why?
No, he wasn't crying. He just had a cold. And another thing that happened, and I would get sick all the time, like at least twice a year I got bronchitis.
Wow.
And then the principals would be angry because I'd be out sick for a week, and they cut my job. And just being an art teacher, you really don't have the security because they cut art, music, what else? Not gym.
It's so sad.
And they cut counselors. And I'm going to get to this point because the kids, at the end of my career, this girl walked in my room then one day. She was new and she said, "I have issues." I said, "Welcome, join the club." And the kids had so many issues and situations with home life and stuff that went on. And it was just heartbreaking. And you all, like, I felt I did a lot to help them, talk to them. I was always pretty good at talking about feelings and emotions. And I know you and Greg told me that you valued that I did that. So I did it with my kids, too, and I gave them a lot of love as much as I could. But when you have so many kids and they're all in one room at the same time, it's difficult. But I learned a lot because I had really not taught elementary school for most of my career. And then the kids, they were so loving. They were always hugging you, and they were so excited about doing this art and creating. But I had to adapt my teaching styles. I read this one very good book, was Emotional Intelligence, to learn about different approaches to use with different kids, because art was my savior. And I, like I was telling my daughter the other day, I'm not good with oral comprehension. I'm much better when it's written. I can read stuff or see it, and that's why the art was wonderful for me, and that's what I wanted, and I know I did for the children. And I had a lot of children with special needs, so you had to be flexible and adaptable to be able to be teaching in that, well, it's pretty much anywhere I would imagine environment. But I learned so much. I learned about spiders and animals and bugs and all different cultures. Since I had so many students from around the world, I drew from their countries that they were from.
That's awesome.
To do different projects I did. I don't know that I had anyone from Australia, but I loved
Aboriginal.
I got that lesson from you, the Aboriginal.
Well, I got it from University of Maryland.
Okay.
But yeah.
So we did dot painting, I did weaving, and I taught them about the Navajo, and we sat in a weaving circle, and I taught them Native American dances.
That's awesome.
So we did, and I'd read them books and show them stories, but I'd sing to them, and if they had a piano available, I would do music with them, because I think it's all enriching to combine the arts, music, dance, and fine art when kids are learning. So I know that they loved it, and I loved it most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you were always a really good art teacher and really good at trying to do multicultural, diverse lessons, which is what they teach you. I mean, at least they taught that to me at University of Maryland, but not everyone really encompasses it, and you really did. And yeah, I mean, first of all, my heart's just in pain. Like, you know, when we talk about, because I also taught in a district only for a year in New Jersey that was very low income, and I was introduced to kids who, even in middle school, some of my students were selling drugs to help their mothers pay rent, you know, and would weep during class. And like we just need, like, that's part of why I'm always talking about, like, us awakening and remembering we're one. It's like, we can't have communities without clean water or without proper education and just without love. I know that sounds really corny, but like, because we're all one, even if you have a lot of money, or, you know what I mean, even if your life feels cushy, we have to change the whole thing together because we're connected. And when you have communities suffering, and you taught, you know, a lot of these kids, and I did for a bit, and it's heartbreaking, and we need to start. I don't know exactly what the solution is. Like, I consider us both activists, I guess, talking about it. And I don't know. I'm just feeling, especially with like my friend CG and my GoFundMe being down right now, it's like I'm in a place where I feel the heartbreak of my own pain. And the, you know what I mean? Like, my heart's hurting right now just thinking about the injustices that are still happening and how it's continuing and why, you know, like it starts to get confusing after a while, because, and that's where right now my surrender is coming into play, because when I try to fix it all by myself, it gets too burdensome. But my heart hurts just now. Like, I'm just like fed up, you know, and yet clearly not, because here I am. And I do believe in faith and triumph. And I think we're all going to get through this. And I'm hoping that we're able to stop repeating these cycles. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've been, like you were talking about McGovern, like, you've been trying to be an activist to change for how many years? 40? How long? Mom, talking to the mic. Right. So I'm saying, like, it's like, and there's this one book by Dolores Cannon where it's like the three waves of volunteers of all of us coming in to try to, and we are going to raise the frequency and save the planet. But it's also disheartening to be like, wow, when are we going to shift this? When are we going to really come together? Are you writing my son's name right now? What does that say?
My next topic.
Oh, what's your next topic?
Well, I was thinking, because Kate is so invested in helping people in the world. I remember I read this meditation once that there's a little girl at the beach with her mom, and she's picking up all these clamshells, I'm not exactly sure what, and throwing them back in the water. And her mom said, well, you can't save all of them. She said, well, I saved this one and it matters to this one.
Yeah.
And it becomes overwhelming. Like, I know that I had that feeling from teaching, that you just get burned out after a while, because actually you're not getting really support from your, your principal or whoever. Some of the staff was helpful at times. And I actually co-taught with some of the teachers so that I would relate my lessons to what they were teaching as well.
That's nice. I like that.
I had this little boy. Oh, he was so sweet. He was from Mexico once. And we were talking about, I'm not trying to remember what it was, something about what's in your heart and your feelings and what the essence of your being is. And he raised his hand and he said, it's your soul, Mrs. Liebman, right? I said, yes. And he was only in second or third grade. And I had chosen a Mexican art project, and the kids started teasing him about being Hispanic. And I said something, but he also stood up for himself. I was so proud. He said, I'm proud to be Hispanic. And I said, as you should be.
Yeah.
And insulting other cultures and people is so hurtful. And I did a lot of work with that, just not in elementary, in high school, because the kids would say horrendous things, degrading
it's racial, in the collective
racial things, and one racial group would turn on another group, they'd be better than the next one. And I did give them a lot of, they said, are you going to give us the Martin Luther King speech again today? I said, yes, until it sinks in, because it was so hurtful, the things that their parent, their mom said to them too. And I said, no, that's not okay. And I will not allow it in my yeah. room.
I think also your faith, whether you want to call it Judaism or something deeper, right, has always come through for you to want to be there for not just kids, but to heal these injustices. But it's frustrating when you're up against a whole broken system, whether, like you were talking about principles, like I feel like I'm right now hitting up against systems that don't go to one person. You know what I mean? And it's like finding, because then at first you get disappointed and heartbroken, which you were kind of talking about with the McGovern thing back then. You know, like you see all these disappointments and your own heart feels like it can only break so much, you know? And yet I think we all just need to keep going and fighting for what we feel is right in our hearts and our souls. And even if we keep going up against the system, I think it's important we keep fighting, but it doesn't mean you can still switch your step in the way you go up against things. I'm learning I have to. It's taking so much out of me, you know, right now fighting what I'm fighting. And, you know, I don't want to go too deep in my own stuff.
I remember when I was teaching at the time, and I was just so, so busy. Someone asked me about doing volunteer work. I said, I'm basically doing volunteer work every day.
You said that to me earlier, like, we should do some volunteer. Yes, I'm like, I'm ready to get paid.
Well, no, and I am too, but Tekim Olam, to help the world is also nice by helping Always. Others, because so many people are so disadvantaged. And, you know, you just think all the things that Trump is doing, so things that he's doing to help the wealthy, all his tax breaks or whatever he does is for himself to benefit. And this, to me, his ascent to power has been just devastating.
But and it's a mirror, too.
It is.
Because we can all look at Trump, all of us. And some people voted for him, so some people love him. But for those who don't, we can look at him and say, you know, what an awful man. And I do say that. I'm not a fan of Trump. However, you know, there are places within ourselves that want to overpower and control. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm trying my best to make a difference while also trying to not be a controlling monster. You know what I mean? Because that can happen too, because I get so fucking mad that I want to like burn the whole thing down. You know what I mean? And there's a middle ground for all of us to find. It's not easy. Like I'm still like, I don't even know how much longer I can, I'm in a place where I could fucking go off. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know. I don't know the right way to heal all of these things, but definitely talking about it. And we always have more and more chances, and you and I will get a little tiny bit personal, tiny, but Mom, you got to put the mic to you.
Oh, I forget.
You and I can talk about just how there are so many chances to make amends. You know what I mean? And I think that's part of it, is like whether it's personally knowing you can always rise after you fall, but healing work is real and we all mess up, every single one of us. And I think you and I've had an ability, because we've had many, many fights starting young, and yet here we are, and we always try, both of us, to do our best. And my mom's coming with me to see CG, which I think is a huge deal, actually. Like, I think, once again, I don't want to get too much into that, but I think always opening your heart time and time again, whether it's your personal relationships, if you can, because sometimes space is crucial too, right? It's like, some people are finally able to take space from either a sibling or parent that they never were able to. And that's crucial. But I think you and I both have learned the grace of not just second chances, but like millionth chances, and never giving up on yourself. And it goes right back to the artists. And I'm going to, you know, because we're going to finish up in a little bit. But like, let's talk about Van Gogh. I mean, that's a person. First of all, his paintings now are worth like so much. He died thinking he was a failure. Know. You know, he committed suicide, and he had a very tumultuous life, but, and there was a lot of poisons in his system, but here you have this really sensitive artist who literally was creating these beautiful paintings and no one was really validating him. So it's like, once again, I don't even know. It's about creating, expressing, and just we're all right now. I think, you know what I think. I think we're in an evolutionary tipping point, because we have to be, because the earth is not going to make it if we don't shift. But first you got to go within and see what, it's always easy to be a victim. It's another thing to go in and say, okay, how am I contributing?
The other thing too, I'm so grateful that I became an artist and I danced and I
young
played. Yeah. Since, I said we were like the Jewish Von Trapp family.
No, we were not.
No, I'm my family.
Oh, your family. I was like, what? I mean, kind of, but not really.
And I did it with my kids. I said we sang and we danced. And
so a lot of times not wanting to do so from the kids, but it still seeped in.
But like, I always continued that because that was my salvation. Mm. In school, I did not. The only math I enjoyed or did well in was geometry, because it was visual. And my best friend, Karen, from growing up, she too, well, this is the
other
thing.
Hi, Karen. She'll listen, right?
I know. We lived right by the beach in Sheepshead Bay. It was so beautiful. And the water was clean and you didn't pay to go on a beach. So
that's awesome.
We would study in the summer. In New York State, you had to take Regents in every subject to pass to graduate from high school. So she tutored me, and I loved my math teacher, Mrs. Beatrice Levy. So I got an 85 on the Regents, and she was so proud of me too. Aww. And I was so, so happy, because I had a lot of trouble in school concentrating, and like I said, oral comprehension, not for me. I had to take notes, a million notes. But I did, it was interesting, but my salvation, I loved my art teacher in junior high, Mrs. Rhoda Sackowitz.
And shout out to Miss Exley, my elementary art teacher.
Right. We're in touch, and my high school art teacher, I guess, I'm not sure which name she uses now.
Mom, you don't have to shout out every teacher.
Okay.
That's okay. Art was your salvation.
I loved her, and she really mentored me and gave me the job. It was a big job. I pasted up the whole yearbook, although I had an assistant who really did nothing because she was busy getting high. And
nothing wrong with some medical marijuana.
That's true.
My mom does not smoke it, everyone, obviously. You don't do anything,
for
really.
Reasons,
but
no.
You also don't. Yeah, but
I don't think
you would, even if you.
No, I tried when I was young, but I didn't like it.
Weed?
Yeah.
You get high and like talk to a couch or
yes.
something?
A sleeper, like Woody Allen would say.
Sounds like what I want to do after this podcast.
But now I'm getting off my point.
Sorry. You were saying it's your salvation. You were shouting out
it
your
was
art teachers.
That Rita Shapiro. That's what her name was.
Oh, but, you remembered.
So that sent me in a direction, and I was lucky because a lot of my friends, like their parents didn't support them.
Yeah.
And mine did. As long as I had a profession. So back then it was teacher, nurse.
I don't want to bring up your parents right now.
No, or get married, because those were your basic choices. I guess go into advertising, but teaching was more common. And you had your.
So they wanted you to teach?
Yes. They wanted me to be an artist. But they. Really,
I kind of felt the pressure to become an art teacher in a sense. I don't regret it anyway. But
for me?
Well, you and Dad were both.
Oh,
teachers.
Be a teacher.
Right. And it just felt like, you know, it was the logical thing to do, but like it wasn't, first of all, it was supposed to be part of my path. I don't regret it. But since I was little, I was like, my name's Kate Fanchon Wolf, and I'm going to be, I thought a movie star or what, you know, but like, and then like you're told that's not logical. But once again, I don't regret any part of my path. Like I loved that I got to teach and be in that world. And,
but you still,
and
make
now
art.
I still
make
art,
and you're still,
yeah, but
you're rapping. That's
thank
that's,
you, Mom. One of my rap supporters is my mom. I love it. That means a lot. Look, my mom has come to so many of my comedy shows, especially if they're in Philly, right? And she just is laughing the loudest. And like, so despite all of our issues that we've had, and seriously, like, because you and I both have had rough childhoods, and have, I did a Facebook post of you being a warrior without giving a lot of details. But man, like, we've both really
come a long way.
Yes, and come through a lot. And I think, you know, I'll have you on again when you're wanting to share more, but like, you're so strong and you're resilient. Like, I'll get I'm just in an emotional place, but, and I don't get emotional with you very often, but I am grateful because we've gotten into fights, you know. But my mom, she comes and she laughs the loudest at my vagina jokes. And she's the one that gave me my body, you know, a really feminist, my body, my own or something when I was young. I don't think you're aware of some of the images in there, but it didn't matter. It was, you know, despite our issues, you always were a feminist. You always wanted me to be comfortable with my body. And a lot of those things, despite all the other stuff, like, ingrained into my soul. And you're just very sensitive too. And you and I are learning, like, right now I'm sharing a house that I grew up in with my mom, which is not easy for two adults who, for them, like, I live with Shane half the time, but it's just different. Like, two grown adults sharing a space that aren't used to sharing a space. Like, we have different sleep schedules, and yet we're trying our best. And it's just, and we're also very honest, but we've kind of been like, I feel like our household here, it was always more obvious that there were things going on, whereas a lot of people are more hidden about, or were hidden about their messes, and then it came out later. But you always kind of knew. You'd be like, oh, that family, please, they might look great, but da, 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 you know what I mean? And then that normally came out true. But I feel like in this particular house, it was obvious to the rest of the world that there was some stuff going on, and yet that's because you were just more honest, and like, it's never been easy for you to hide your emotions. And I think that's a gift that you definitely passed on. But my mom and I have both had, you know, I'm not going to lie and just pretend we're this perfect mother daughter, because that would cut it short. You know, we've come through so much and continue. And it's still just, I just can't wait till like the whole world. I know it sounds so childish, and I don't mean it in a childish way. I just can't wait till like the whole world can come together and just, because, you know, I'm not going to share too much of our stories, but it's like, I know the pain, not just personally, but I can feel it. And like, people just need to start getting more honest, but also having the hope that like, my mom and I both have been through a lot together and individually, and we just keep trying to be better, kinder people. And I don't think either one of us thinks we're perfect. I mean, I'm sure we both fall into that on some days. I know I do some days. No. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just really do appreciate that. No, Mom, I'm okay. She's giving me a tissue. It's fine. I'm not crying that much. It could go there. I'm just like, you know, plus I saw my old rabbi, and it's like, I'm just trying to surrender, you know, having like one of my best friends in a place that he should not be in, and rubbing up against the system in that way, even though I think we all feel like we're in prisons a lot still, like we want something to happen or to move forward, and we pray, and like, I'm just praying for all of us, the whole collective, for us to move forward in a way where the earth can survive and we don't have toxic water and the racism and the wars and all of it. Like, it's like, I don't think we can stand much more of pretending to be happy, you know, and at least we never really pretended. I don't think you and I have that us.
Yeah, I think that also you learn, like, I try to get a filter as I got a little older, but when I was little, my aunt would always say, hide your feelings.
About my filter. I'm trying. I've been filtered on this one, right?
Yes. My aunt would say, don't let anyone know what you're thinking. Get like stone face. And I was not that kind of little girl. I was spirited and funny. And, you know,
but this world like takes it out of you so fast.
Well, they tried. They tried. And I didn't do that. And I would always perhaps say things to this day that, I mean, I tried to be kind. I'm not being mean about it. But to speak the truth, and Kate said to me, it means so much to me that Kate and I have healed so much with much more to go. But you said to me once,
there's
Mom,
just so much pain in my system still. You start to feel like you're the crazy one. And it's like, that's what's crazy making, is when you're feeling, and you can relate, the pain of whether it's the collective or what was done to you. And then you look, and look, like I said, I promised my mom I wasn't going to go deep into it, but you were in a way treated like you were crazy. You know what I mean? And it's just not fair for us to really label anyone like that anymore. Like, it's becoming a word. Like, yes, I'm not saying, you know, sometimes you'll be on the street and you'll see someone getting violent. And, you know, yes, that's a type of crazy, obviously. But we need to go deeper than just being like, oh, that person's crazy. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's like there's something deeper going on, whether we want to admit it or not. There is. And it's just time to, like, bare our souls in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. Or we're not going to make it through.
You remember what you said to me a couple months ago? You said it was beautiful. You said, you and I can get through anything.
Yeah, true.
And I think of that all the time, because I'm being mushy and I'm not supposed to, I love you so much and I cherish who you are and who you've become, and just, you know, having the joy of seeing you grow up and becoming Kate Fanchon Wolf. And I gave you that name, I'll tell people, because I named Kate. It's a middle name for my grandma, Fanny.
But it's Fanchon.
Well, I wouldn't give her Faga, so I gave her the name Fanchon, which is French, and it means independent woman. And my grandma was, she came to this country,
cursed with codependent issues up until recently. Right?
You, my grandma, and me.
All of us. All of us.
So anyway, grandma came to this country alone. And I don't know if she was 16 or 18. She had an arranged marriage in Philadelphia.
Wow.
She said to me, she took one look at him, Michem Brechen, this means in the Yiddish, she can vomit.
Really?
Yeah. And she ran away to New York.
Wow.
And then she worked in a, she knew how to sew. And she worked in a factory, one of those horrible sweatshops. Eventually, she married my grandpa, who wasn't the nicest man in the world. We'll leave it at that for now. And
to be continued on the next. No, I'm joking.
She had a lot of mishigas, I'll say that, issues. She would tell me, put me to sleep, telling me pogrom bedtime stories and start in English, wrap them up in Yiddish, so I didn't know what happened. I thought the Cossacks were coming up Ocean Avenue, up my fire escape to Kilming with a sichel.
You still have a lot of those fears in your system.
Yes, I do.
I felt them last night. Because it takes you time to fall asleep, which is fine. Everyone's on, but no, don't even beat yourself up. Because everyone is on their own thing. And a lot of people have unprocessed things that keep them up. And they don't know, you know what I mean? So I can feel those anxieties. And I talked to you about historical wounds and poison ground and them being passed on. Like,
totally.
You know, like they got put on to you and then they got put on to me. And I'm not saying Shane doesn't have any, you know, obviously, but we're trying now to like put a halt to it and not pass these things on and on and on and finally say, okay, like how can we raise kids where they're not taking on our fears and continuing the cycles of abuse? And I think we're doing it, but it's just,
it's also hidden,
takes time, I guess.
You asked me, I didn't even say anything, and you said, do you think this painting's gonna fall on my head if I put the bed here when I'm sleeping?
Oh yeah, because I put a I put a blow-up air mattress under one of, but that's exactly
and
a good example.
Know. Kids, they pick up all your fears and anxieties. And I know that my grandma went through hell in Ukraine. She survived in her brother. She
and
got
you took on your parents'
out.
Stuff, too.
Yeah, and then you have your parents. And my sister was raised more by my grandmother. And I remember the story that Maddie told me one day was my grandma brought home a fish and told my sister it was a pet. But it wasn't. It was dinner for that night.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. So next thing I know.
That's not funny.
No, it was horrible. So my sister sees the fish being cut up and was traumatized. I mean, people just, back then, they didn't have enough common sense or whatever to realize that how all these things harm and scare children. Things, oh, that's the other thing. Things were not talked about Everything was under the rug.
I think we're still seeing that.
Oh, yeah. But it's harder to hide things today with the media around.
But that's, yeah, and that's the plus of it. Yes.
That's good. And people learning, it's the other thing that we carry so much shame. And then our parents carry the shame and our grandparents, and it all gets passed on.
Well, the times they are a-changing.
Yeah.
Therapy helps. Healing work helps. Talking. No, I'm not doing the jinx. No. My mom always would want me to, whenever we say the same word, she has this ritual. And I've been telling her no to this for how many years? 20? Longer, probably. I'm like, no.
You have to say.
I'm not doing it. Okay. You can say it.
You make a pinky wish and you say, well, some people say, what goes up the chimney?
Smoke.
Chimney, may your wish and my wish never be broke.
And now I'm gonna make a wish because we said it. So everyone can make a wish with us. Everyone make a wish because we did have jinxes. Okay. We don't want too much silence on the podcast. Everyone make a wish and then we come back in 10 minutes. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. It's almost been an hour. This is your first. Yeah. This is my mom's first podcast.
I'm not nervous now.
Yeah, see, you're great. She's made a great doodle artwork for real.
It is.
Well, first of all, before I go really into plugging the show Friday, well, let me do that first. Like, I'll go into my normal plugs. But like this Friday, the 29th, the day after Thanksgiving in the Philadelphia area, I'm having two shows, a 7 and a 9, at the Temple Ambler Theater. You can get tickets on Eventbrite. It's all over my Facebook and Instagram and all those things. I just changed the price, but whatever. So go check it out. If any of you want to come and need more of a discount, whatever, just email me kwolf2fs27@gmail.com. But it would mean a lot to have a lot of people there. This is a fundraiser for one of my best friends whose full story wasn't heard. And that doesn't even matter at this point because he can be out without the full story being heard. But, he's one of the best humans walking this planet and has helped save me in many ways. So in a lot of ways. So please, this Friday, the 29th, if anyone's in the Philly area, 7 and 9 o'clock, my mom will be there, probably laughing the loudest. But I have Aston Wallace, who I went to high school with, who's an amazing comedian, and one of my close friends who I didn't go to high school with but grew up around here, Karen Margolis. It's going to be a great show. So please come out, support me. I've been putting lawyer stuff on my credit card and the GoFundMe still down. I don't know why, but bumping up against the system. My mom and I will make a new song about bumping up against the system. But yeah, mom, thanks for coming on and plug more of your stuff. So my mom makes incredible jewelry. Where can they check some of that out if they want to get some of your jewelry?
Go to, please, jewelrybyjaneruth.com.
What if they want to commission you for a painting? Can they do that? Can they email you?
Jewelry, paintings, whatever.
Normally, same website should they go to?
I don't sell my paintings. I sell prints of my paintings. They're like my babies.
But what if someone was willing to pay you enough and they were like, can you take this picture?
Sure. And paint it.
And do like an original. And like, so if you guys want, like, she is so good at taking, I'm serious, landscapes, still lifes. I think portraits, although I know that right now isn't your like.
Well, I'm learning.
Super duper comfort. She is really good. So like, if you guys have, I mean, she has to give you a quote. Yeah.
Houses.
Pets. You can send her a picture and she'll give you a quote. Doesn't mean you have to say yes, her or you guys, but she's awesome. And please come to the show Friday. Like, yes. I said, I'm supposed to have an article coming out tomorrow. I'm praying it's still coming out. That'll help bring people there. But my main thing is I just don't want to keep losing money. Trying to not just fight social injustice, but like fighting for like my best friend. Oy, oy, oy.
And
that you get to see that you get to see Thursday for the first time in a long time. He was like, yeah, he's family to me in many ways. And I don't know. It means a lot that I feel like this house is slowly becoming a place for like a safe haven in a sense. Like, I'm not saying the doors are wide open, trust me, but I feel like this is a place welcome for anyone. Do you know what I mean? Like for people's story to be heard. Like, I don't know. Anyone who walks in here, I feel like my mom and I, even though we don't always get along, I'm serious. Like, I feel like everyone's welcome. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's important. And truth is welcome. Like, me and my mom, we've both been through it. So nothing really, I don't want to say nothing shocks us, because that's not necessarily true. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I hope everyone got, I'm sure people got something out of this. I don't know what I'm going to call it yet. We'll brainstorm. I kind of have some ideas, but thank you all for listening. And do you have anything else you want to plug, Mom?
My daughter.
Now my mom's going to plug her daughter.
She is so funny and clever. Her jokes are just, she's hysterical.
Thank you, Mom.
She's amazing. So you'll be well entertained, and her other two friends as well. But of course, she's my daughter. So please come. I think it will be a really fun evening and a way to help CG.
Yes.
Happy holidays to all.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. And
what does Thanksgiving mean to you?
Well, this Thanksgiving is very special because it's the first time we will be together.
In a bit.
Been together a long time.
I was here 2 years ago, actually.
And it's vegetarian. True. As well. So
we're bringing CG food. I don't know if he's going to appreciate that aspect, but
well, that's another way of helping the earth.
It's true. I'm not big animal rights.
I don't eat animal. I mean, I've been.
I wasn't
this.
Raised vegetarian though. I don't want. I mean, I was raised. You were always.
I gave you vegetarian meals.
Yeah, but you cooked meat for us growing up. Like Greg was the first. That's my brother. That really became strict. He's not anymore, but he was the first one, I think, to really make a stand in that direction. No, you were very organic and like, but you definitely cooked brisket and all those things. I know.
Well, it's
not
me, but
right. But I'm saying like, we were not. Yes, you had that tendency, but Greg was really the first one, I think, to really go like, and then in me in college, I towards the end is when I forced myself.
And then
to
I
watch
was
the
on
factory
my own,
farming.
And then I became veg.
Yeah, now you're not like vegan. Totally veg.
Vegetarian.
Yeah. I was only vegan for like 2 or 3 years. That was very hard for me.
That's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. But amen to anyone who's doing it. And like, there's so many different ways to make a difference. So anyway, this November 29th, please come out. I'll have my GoFundMe page back up soon, hopefully. So you can always donate to that, even if you don't live in the area and can't make the show. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at the Kate Wolf. And oh yeah, email for healing, tarot reading, just to, I don't know. This is my email, kwolf2f27@gmail.com. And thank you, Mom, so much for coming on.
Dude, did you see what she was wearing? Fuck it up. Fuck it up, fuck it up. Fuck it up. Dude, yeah, you like it? 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 Yeah, you like it?